doesn't start good, but you know, the finish line's always the greatest. So Harrison's mom, Susan graduated in that blood-taking thing. What do you call it? Plebobity? Something like that. That's that word. That's that word. And she's working up in a hospital up in Harrisburg. And she shared, she says, you know, Susan's sweet. Susan's sweet. She's sweet. They make sugar out of Susan. So she started this job, and this lady was just nasty to her. No reason. Just, you know, just nasty. And you're like, I have deodorant on. You know, what's going on? And it kind of flipped Susan for a little bit. But, you know, we just, and so she started praying for this. And the Bible talks about pray for those that despitefully use you, persecute you, cuss you out, and all those other things. The Bible says to pray for them. Sometimes I forget about that, and I just want to join the team that just starts throwing rocks at them. But Susan didn't. She started praying for this lady. And within the week, this lady now is coming up like her best friend. She talks to her all the time. Guys, that's a win. That's a win. So I don't know what works like with you, but I hope that encourages you that, you know, God will move on your behalf. And I believe there's another part of the story coming, because I don't know where this lady's life is. And, you know, like we learned last week, you don't know their story. That's what we talked about last week. We don't know their story and why they're acting like that. But right now, she's on Team Susan, and Susan is very thrilled. So praise the Lord. That's my story on wins. Amen. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to give you praise and thanksgiving for your word. Your word, Jesus, the living word, and this word, the Bible. We thank you, Father, that your word is alive. And today we say that we have ears that are going to hear the truth of your word. Father, we'll catch revelation. That means our eyes will be open like they've never been before. And we'll hear the truth, and we'll see it, and we'll know it, we'll apply it in our life, and we will be changed as we walk out of this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You know, I was thinking about my journey with the Lord. I was so blessed to have some people that pursued me 40 years ago. I mean, they were like a dog on the trail, man. They were sniffing and just in my face. Unfortunately, I was pretty blinded for a long time. I couldn't hear for a long time. But then came this thing. My eyes were open, and I knew that I needed Jesus. I knew I needed Jesus, and there was really a quick turnaround in my life. I was in college, and you can only imagine what that quick turnaround might have looked like. So then I'm on my journey with the Lord, and it's a couple years later, and surprisingly to me, I just kind of slipped back into some of the things that I had turned away from. Did anybody ever, nobody here, right? Nobody ever slipped back into things that you came out of, yeah. So I sort of slipped back into some of that stuff, and man, it made me feel bad. I feel bad. It made me feel bad, you know, because you know better. I'm like, I'm feeling bad. And this was my cycle. God, I feel so bad. God, I'm sorry. And I'd go to church, and I'd even feel badder. That's not a word. And then the cycle would go, God, I feel bad. And then I do it again. And God, I feel so bad. And I feel it again. I do it again. And I'm like, gosh. And I got to the point where I'm thinking, you know, I just ought to quit. Just ought to quit. This is, you know, I feel pitiful. I feel pitiful. Has anybody ever felt like I'm just so bad and pitiful? I should just turn left, turn. So you may or never not had that happen, but maybe this is happening to your life. By the way, I'm building to where we're going, so just put your seatbelt on. But maybe you've had a big failure in your life, a big failure. Sometimes failures come because some people throw them on our plate. Other times I just pick them up and put them on my plate. Yeah, okay. I've had failures in my own personal life. I have had failures in ministry where I go to bed. This is my new slogan. Well, I'm a day older and a little smarter, you know, but I had some big failures, and I don't have enough fingers and toes to talk about them or keep track on them. sometimes those failures were just, I felt humiliated. I mean, I felt bad. I felt shameful. Anybody ever just feel ugh after some of your failures? Okay. And those failures, there's a couple that I just have moved them away, put them in a box, and I know Jesus took care of it. But until I got to that place, I was carrying around this great shame for some of the things that I've done, some of the things I've said. Anybody ever identify with that? Yeah. Okay, so not fun. So I tell you all that because the guy we're going to talk about today had a big failure. A guy in the Bible who had a big failure, so much that you can read about it in the Bible. Wouldn't you like your mail written in the Bible for everybody to read how terrible you were, you know? Okay, so this guy's super famous. He's in the Bible, and we're going to find out how Jesus dealt with him, how Jesus reached out to him, and how Jesus changed his life. So that's where we're going today, and I'm not going to tell you who he is yet, but today, this is the big idea. This is the main idea that I want you to get more clearly than you've ever gotten before. And for some of you, you may already know this, you bunch of know-it-alls, but God always wants us to go to a higher level. So if you're like, oh, I already know that. Oh, right there. Just write down on your card because you're going to write this. Today, I'm going to a higher level. So what I'm going to share, you know, some of you, this might be woohoo, earth shaking. And others of you, you say, wow, I need to apply this and go higher in my life. So here it is. If you're taking notes, because you are all smarter than a fifth grader. Ready? You should be writing this down. Nothing you do can stop God from loving you and using you. So if you've had some big failures and you want to quit, or you did quit, nothing you do can stop God from loving you and using you. Now, if I had to think of, you know, sometimes I lay awake at night and think of these little silly sayings, and I'm like, oh, I should write them down. Sometimes I do. But one of them, I was thinking about core values for YCF. This is like our four stones that we start building the foundation on. And one of them, I believe our core value, and I say it is, nobody perfect is allowed here. So if you're perfect, open up the back door, please leave. Nobody's perfect that is allowed here. If you're perfect, leave. And by the way, I am not perfect, so I get to stay. Anybody not perfect? You must be because you're still staying, okay? So that's kind of my core values here, you know. If nobody perfect. You don't have to be perfect. We love you. Praise God. So the interesting thing about that is, you know, God knows you're not perfect. And the only perfect one came to the earth, and his name was Jesus. And he knows you're not perfect, and he knows you're going to grow. Everybody say, I'm growing. Yeah. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. And the way you grow is, number one, you have to know that God loves you, and God's going to use you. And there was a season I thought, oh, I got that. You know, I got that. I know that. And then some storms hit my life. And I realized I didn't got that. So I hope you got that today. And we're going to talk about it. And I hope it comes so clear, bigger than it ever has before, how much God loves you. And he's going to use you even when you're not perfect. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So open up your Bibles, would you please, to the 1 John 4, verse 18. And I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. Those are one of those, they're just easy reads. You know, you should keep them next to the bathroom sink here. They're just easy reads, the Living Bible, the Message Bible. And this particular verse, they do an awesome job of translating the Greek. So it's really spot on. That's why I picked this Bible translation today. Okay. 1 John 4:18. It says, we need have no fear of someone. The someone's God. We should not, or we don't have to have fear of God. We need have no fear of God, who loves us perfectly. The word love, we're going to talk about it today. That word in the Greek is agape or agapeo, okay? I'm probably say agape the whole time. So we're going to talk about that. But listen to this. It's so cool. So we need have no fear of God who loves us perfectly. His perfect love, that agape love for us, eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. Isn't that amazing? If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us, and shows us that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. So in other words, if you're walking around afraid of God because you're not perfect, afraid of God because you had it out with your wife last night, if you're walking around afraid because of your failures, then you don't know God's love. Period. All right? Isn't that great? I mean, that's not great, but, you know, you get it. That's great. Okay. So listen, guys, how many of you have asked Jesus to be Lord of your life? If you've accepted him into your life, then you got to understand he loves you, period. No matter what you do, what you've done, and he has a plan for your life and he wants to use you. So get ready. Praise God. Now, does he know that you may have messed up? Yes. Does he want you to mess up? No. He doesn't want you to mess up. But he knows we're going to fail. He knows we're going to have mess ups. He's God. You're not perfect. And the great thing about that is he loves us. And he loves us. And he also wants to use us. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, I want to say this again. He wants to grow us. You can't camp out in all your mistakes and go, well, I'm just a mess up. I just might as well stay there. He wants us to grow. How many of you would like to change a 20-year-old diaper because your kid didn't grow up? All right? They're just acting like, well, God doesn't want that happening in your life. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow out of the things that we mess up. And last week we talked about the woman who was caught in adultery, and we said it's a process. It's a process, that growing thing. But the cool thing is you need to know that God loves you and he's walking with you while you're walking out that process. He loves you and he wants to use you. All right. So today we're on week 3 or 4 of talking about Jesus had encounters with people. Jesus had encounters with people. And today we're going to talk about Peter. Jesus' encounter with Peter. Peter is one of the 12 apostles. And he's actually kind of famous, praise the Lord. He walked with Jesus for about 3.5 years. And we're going to pick up our story in John chapter 21. We're going to get there eventually, but if you just want to write that down. We're at the part of the story in John chapter 21. This is the Last Supper. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. He's giving them last-minute instructions. He's got this three-ring binder, and he's doing this page and this page and this page, and he's telling them all these things they got to remember, they got to do, they got to know, and he's just piling on to them. It's also the Last Supper there, and he's talking to them, and he turns to Peter, and he says, Peter, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And oh, by the way, Peter, till the morning comes and the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. No. You're going to deny that you know me 3 times. And you know, Peter's got this big personality. I don't know what he files on the personality tests and stuff, but he's like, probably jumps up and the table falls over. What? No way, Jesus, I'd never deny you, right? And then Jesus goes on and talks. He's just probably like, Peter. He goes on and he talks and he says, you know, listen, by the way, I want you to go to the upper room and wait because then the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he continues on with his conversation. So as the story goes, Jesus is arrested. He's on trial. And Peter is hanging around outside the courtroom. He's outside. And 3 times in a row, people have come up and said, like, hey, I know you. You're one of those disciples of Jesus. Hey, oh, I can tell by your accent. You're one of those guys that hangs out with Jesus. And the first time, what does Peter say? Second time, what does he say? The third time, he goes blankety blank, no. And he gets all storms up and he runs out. Okay, this is the Cashman version here. Praise the Lord. So do you know what Peter does after all of that? After Jesus has died and he's done all that, do you know what he does? He goes back to fishing. He goes back to fishing. By the way, he was a professional fisherman, right? That's what he did. That was his business. That was his livelihood. And he goes back to fishing because he felt so much shame for denying that he knew Jesus. So he goes back into the business. And you know, it's so cute. I just love Peter. Not only does he go back into the business and say, hey, I'm going fishing, he grabs a couple more of the disciples to go with him. You know, misery loves company, right? So these are guys. These are the big 12. The big 12 that join up with Peter to go fishing. All right? And they're fishing. And he's like, hey, guys, let's go fishing because I can never look Jesus in the eye. I can never serve him because of what I did. Anybody kind of identify with that? Yeah. All right. So, and listen, he blew it. If I had to think of, I'm like, he did the big blew it, right? He just blew it big time. Denied he knew Jesus, all right? So, but this is the thing that we're going to get today. Despite all of that, Jesus reached out to him. Despite his big blow it, denying him, Jesus is going to reach out. So I love that. I love that in my life, and you're going to love that in your life. Now, the story goes on. Peter and the bunch, they're out fishing. A bunch of these guys are out fishing. Remember, they used to be professional fishermen, all right? And there's this guy that comes up, walks up on shore, and he looks out at them fishing, and he goes, hey, guys, how's it going today? And they go, the guy that's on shore, who they don't know who he is, and they go, ah, it was a bum day. We didn't catch anything. And the guy who's on shore, who they don't know who he is, he says, hey, let down your nets on this side. And they do it. And guess what happens? They are catching fish so much so that they're having trouble hauling the fish ashore. And it's interesting. Peter right there goes, blink, blink. You know, what do we call that word? Deja vu. I've been in this situation before. Oh. And he hops out of the boat, swims ashore, because that's when he knew that was Jesus. All right? Now, I want you to think about how much Jesus loves you. How much he loves you. Listen to what's going on here. Jesus reaches out to Peter. Reaches out to Peter and he says, hey, man, I still love you. Yeah, you blew it, but I still love you and I have a plan for your life. Guys, that's how much God loves us. Y'all ain't perfect. Some of you might have had a wingding just getting to church today. I used to have Market Street to here. Oh, little graveyards on the side of the road of wingdings Jack and I would have. And, you know, we'd just blow it, screaming at each other. But Jesus reaches out. And listen, Peter really blew it. Reaches out to Peter and he says, I forgive you, I love you, and I'm still going to use you. So, praise the Lord. Now, there's some other things that happens at this breakfast table. All right. There's some other things and we're going to talk about it. So Jesus comes and he feeds them breakfast. And right after breakfast, Jesus says three things to Peter. Actually, he asks him three questions. All right. Now, in order for us to really, really understand what this conversation is with Jesus reaching out to Peter, who's totally blown it, we're going to have to do a little Greek. Okay, we're going to look at the word love, and we're going to look at the meaning of it in the Greek language. Otherwise, you're just going to read like I used to read. I just would blow over this going, oh, that's so cute. Oh, that's so sweet. Jesus, you're so sweet. You always reach out to everybody. So today, get your pencils. We're going to do the Greek words for love. You ready? The first one, Eros. E-R-O-S. Eros. And it means an erotic love based on body chemistry, and it has to do with self. Don't you love self? Yeah. So Eros is love based on body chemistry. It has to do with self. And this has to do with appearance, usually. Like, oh, man, he's so hot, you know, or whoa. Okay, so you get it. All righty. Now, if you're reading your Bible and you see that word in the English, you're going to say love. And I'm like, oh, yeah, love, you know. But this word Eros has more than, oh, love. It's different, okay? So Eros is number one of the Greek words that mean love. The second one is Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge, and of course, you know, I don't speak Greek, so don't criticize my accent here. Storge is a natural affection for a child or a parent or siblings. It develops over time for your husband or wife, such as the first date you went on with your wife is nothing compared to what it's grown to. Now, on rare occasions, I have people that tell me, I saw her and I knew she was going to be my wife. Well, you're one in a million. But most of us, it's a growing thing. It's a growing thing, okay? And there's this, that this love storges is so different that you have an, for your child or for your mate, and sometimes your sibling. Sometimes your sibling. I have to tell you a story because it really just talked about this storge love. I was talking to a mom a couple of weeks ago, and her second son has some learning disabilities. He falls in the autism spectrum, and if you would watch him, you would you figure it out real quick. And her oldest son, she got this phone call from the school, and he kept beating everybody up. And I know her older son. I know her. I was like, what? Him? No way. Well, this what happened is some kids were making fun of his little brother, so he just beat the tar out of him. Now, I'm not going to tell you my opinion on that, but anyway, he had deep affection for his brother. That's storge, a deep affection. It's a natural thing, especially when you're a parent and those your kids, and sometimes your siblings. Okay, next one. This is the love that you have for friends. A lot of times you'll see it in your Bible. It'll say brotherly love or brotherly affection, but the Greek word is phileo, phileo. P-H-I-L-E-O. It's a friendship that's based on, you just click. You know, some people have, yeah, they're friends. No, then there's some. You just click in this friendship here. And you just really enjoy their company. It's just this really cool thing. How many of you ever heard the expression, blood is thicker than water? Well, that's storge is thicker than phileo. Because depending... Well, if you come out of a normal family, which I don't think there's any normal families, but basically if you're this storge, you are going to stick and stand up for your family. Friends, sometimes not so, but storge, yep. By the way, I came out of a super dysfunctional family. Gosh, I could tell you stories. But I've read about functional families. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, last one. The last Greek word for love is agapeo or agape. Okay, agape. And you know my Greek, hallelujah. That word we just read when I read 1 John 4:18. That was the word agape, all right? And agape is the God kind of love. Agape is this unconditional love. And if you're taking notes, this should be the post-it note for the week. This should be on your mirror. This should be on your Bible. And this is the one you're just going to chew on all week long, okay? Agape, unconditional love that keeps on loving. Unconditional love that keeps on loving. Unconditional love that keeps on loving. Now, interesting thing about this word, agape, Jesus actually kind of created it, coined it, because you don't read that word in the Old Testament. It shows up the first time in the New Testament when Jesus starts his ministry. And he talks this word over and over and over. And he actually does it. Don't you love the people that talk it and don't do it? Jesus talks this word, love, and he actually does it through his 3.5 years on ministry. So just a little thing. This is no new word to Peter. Okay, get ahead of my story. Alrighty, so agape, unconditional love that... that just keeps loving, it lays its life down. Now, if you've accepted Jesus to come into your life, guess what he puts inside of you? Agape love. He puts the God kind of love inside of you, okay? So we all have it. But the really crazy, interesting thing about that is we have to grow in knowing how to release it. How many of you are still growing on how to release that love? Oh, golly gee whiz. Yes, I am, all right? Now, that word Jesus uses when he says, husbands, love, agape your life, your wife. Yeah, your life, your wife. Husbands, agape your wife as Christ agape the church. So he's saying, husbands, I put this love inside of you and you get to release it to your wife just like I did it for the church and you and you and you and you. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. I might try it out. So this goes beyond. So we talked about storge, which is like husband and wife and kids and stuff like this. This goes beyond that. This agape goes beyond that. Praise God. This is the word that Jesus uses when he says, hey, you'll know you're my disciples by your agape. They'll know you're my disciples. They'll know you're these Jesus people. They'll know you're a Christian. They'll know you're the born again bunch by your agape. Yeah, Jesus said that. All right. So, woohoo. Every Christian has this agape in love them. It's a divine thing. It's a heavenly thing. And now if you've not received Jesus, you're going to probably do 1, 2, and 3. But this fourth one, you're not able to really do it. You are not able to do it because it's a God thing. So you just had your Greek lesson. Praise the Lord. I give you all A's on your little homework there. Okay. So, but we're talk about the last two. We're going to talk about phileo and agape. Phileo and agape. And you're all probably over at John chapter 21. We're going to start at verse 15. So now we can read this. And what version did I pop up there? Guys, I can't remember what I used. NIV. Okay. NIV here. Praise the Lord. Now, you remember Jesus has just hugged Peter and said, man, I love you. And I'm going to pull you back into the fold. I'm going to pull you back in. And I want you to go to the upper room. And I want you to get an encounter with the Holy Spirit. First, I'm going to serve you breakfast, though. Okay? So here we are. They eat breakfast. And they said, when they had finished eating, verse 15, John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Now, I crack up when I read that because, you know, it's sort of like when your mom gives your first name, your formal name, and your middle name. And you know, pay attention. Yeah. So mine was Davida Marie. And I'm like, oh, gosh. Okay. So as I said, just me, I'm reading this. And it goes, so Jesus says, says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love agape? The words agape. Do you have this unconditional lay your life down for me? All right. More than these. And yes, Lord. Peter says, you know, I phileo, brotherly affection. We click. I appreciate you. Got two different words going on. But if you're reading in your Bible, it just says love, 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 love. You know, I love my cat. I love ice cream. I love going to the beach. And that's why you got to look at those words. It should be, whoa. Okay. At least it's going, whoa to Jesus. And by the way, don't worry if you didn't get it. Peter didn't get it. All right. So, Jesus is going here. Hey, do you agape love me? And this agape, unconditional love, lay down your life no matter what. And that was Peter's problem, right? Because what did Peter do? He denied that he knew him. He denied basically what he's saying. I deny you because I don't want to lay my life down because, you know, I'm probably going to get killed just like you. So that was Peter's problem. And you know, Jesus, he just goes for that little nerve right there. Okay. So he's going for it. And the funny part, it's not funny, is Peter doesn't get it. He's just not too smart. So everybody, I don't get things the first time. Anybody miss it the first time around? Jeez. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's why I'm reading my Bible, reading my Bible, reading my Bible, reading my Bible. But Jesus is saying this because he wants Peter to work on this. Jesus knows everything. He knows where Peter is. He knows he blew it. He knows where he is. And he's like trying to get him to grow. Don't you love the way he loves? It's just so cool. I love it. Okay. So Peter's a little slow and he didn't get it. So Peter goes, Jesus, you know I phileo you. Jesus, you know, I love those miracles you do. I love sitting around listening to you talk. You're just amazing. So Peter's saying, Jesus, you know I have this friendship. We're like BFFs. We are just so tight. That's what he's saying. That's what Peter's saying. And it's so funny. Now, how many of you've given, just flat out said something to somebody and they didn't get it? You're like, didn't you hear what I just said? And that's when I used to grab kids. I'd grab them by the chin. And I'd go, look me in the eye. And I'd say it again. Well, this is sort of what's going on here. But Jesus is going agape. Peter's going phileo. It's just like right over his head. So don't feel bad if you miss it the first time. Peter misses it. Okay. So Jesus says after he does, he says, feed my lambs. Everybody see that? The bottom of verse 15, Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. And you know what Jesus is saying there? Peter, I know you're not too spiritually mature yet, but I have ministry for you. Look. Now, some of us, oh man, you are a mess. You need to sit in the corner till Jesus comes back. You can't do anything. Ah, the love of God. Listen to this. Look at the love of God. He goes, Peter, take care of feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now, this is part of Peter's ministry. Peter's called to be an apostle, right? Y'all read that? He's Apostle Peter. And the lambs would be baby Christians. I know that much about animals. That's a baby, all right? So this would be a baby Christian. And he says to feed them. He's giving him a ministry, and he says, feed them, feed the baby Christians my word. So, but wait a minute. Peter certainly is not perfect. Peter's actually just kind of in left field, and Jesus gives him ministry. Gives him ministry. Praise the Lord. So, you can be in ministry and not perfect. Everybody should say yes. Yes. All right. Now, so, our big idea is nothing you can do can stop God from loving you and using you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, verse 16. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Do you agape? Do you lay your life down, unconditional love, no matter what? Jesus is saying, do you love me? And Peter answers him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. It's like again over his head, okay? So I just feel good days. Don't you just feel good days? You just kind of miss it. So he's like, yeah. And Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And those are all the other things you do as pastor. Take care of your sheep. We just don't stand up here on Sunday. We do a lot of other things. I can also take a pot or potty and put it back together faster than you know what. But that's part of the ministry. If you ever want to go into the ministry, you should talk to me. Okay. But really what he's saying is, Peter, I want you to do ministry. All right? And I know you're not spiritually mature yet. Okay? But I can still use you. I love it. Everybody say, God can still use me. Because everybody in here is not perfect. God can still use me, all right? None of us are perfect, and this is the point he is bringing to Peter. Peter, I forgive you, I love you, and I can still use you. Okay, third time, Peter, he says, where am I here? Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? No, wait a minute. This is Jesus talking. Jesus kind of shifts a little bit. Because, you know, Jesus knows you. He says, Simon, do you friendship me? All right? Now, if all the Bible scholars say that word do, D-O, do you, is not in the original translations. So erase that word. And this is what Jesus is really saying. Peter, I know you phileo me. Peter, I know that you see me as friend, and high five, that's okay. Peter, I know that I'm a friend to you. That's okay. That's cool, man. I can still work with you. Hey, man, that's good, Pastor D. I'm so glad you're excited about that. That's so cool. Okay, so he keeps going on. So the third time he says, Simon, son of John, you phileo me. That's really what he said. You're friends to me, okay? And Peter was hurt. Anybody ever get their feelings hurt? All the time, okay? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. He still doesn't have his ears cleaned out. Do you phileo me? And he said, this is Peter, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus, I love him. How many of you love Jesus? Man, he loves you. He loves you whether you're perfect, you're growing here, here, or here, and he still wants to use you. Isn't that wonderful? It's just so wonderful. Now, the thing is, he knows where you are, and Jesus wants you to come up to another level. So, yep, he knew where Peter was, but he wanted to get him up higher. Higher, higher, higher. Praise the Lord. But again, Jesus still loves you, and Jesus still wants to use you. Amen. Good, good, good. Praise the Lord. Now, if you think you have to be perfect before God uses you, then you don't know the love of God. You don't know. You don't know God. You don't know his love. You don't know agape. All right. So no perfect people here. Praise God. God loves you and he wants to use you. Praise the Lord. Now, does he want to grow you up? He does. And I do. So you don't call me. But yes, listen, he wants you to grow. All right. And he doesn't want you to stay where you are. He doesn't want you to think, oh my gosh, I messed up. God can't use me. No, he's like, I love you. I know where you're at and I know where I want to take you. I love you. I'm going to use you. Praise the Lord. All right. When I think about this, I thought real quick, right away, Jesus loves us when we're not perfect. He loves us when we're this part of our life growing with God, this part of our life growing with God. He just loves us and he wants to use us. How many of you remember Pastor Jim Law? He was here in April. He was speaking and he gave his testimony. He spent some 11 years in jail, in prison, all right? And that's where God got hold of him. Well, really, God was after him, after and after him, and that's where Jim received Jesus. Now, at that point, he is not perfect. He has received the perfect one. He has received the love of God, but he has got some bad habits going on. But you know what God did with Jim in prison right away? He threw him into ministry. He threw him into ministry in prison. And he started just sharing, this is what God's done for me. And he started growing and he started sharing and he started growing and he started sharing. But let me tell you, Pastor Jim was not perfect and God just threw him right in. So you're not perfect. God's thrown you in and he wants to use you. So today when I look out at all of you and all of me, you know, we've done some things. Not good. Some of you still may be doing not so good, but God always loves us. He loves you. And you just need to say that. Just go, God loves me. God loves me. And if you want to sing the song, go ahead. But God loves me. God loves me and he wants to use you and he wants to use you and he's deposited gifts inside of you for you to use for him. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Okay, moving on to the next part because it all makes sense. Just hang in here. I started thinking about the word shame. And I have some people that I've just been encouraging. I even thought about myself, my part of my life and stuff. But there's people I know that they're walking around carrying this heavy thing called shame. And you know what? It is impossible to carry. They're walking around feeling shame about their failures, their mistakes, what they've done in life. So I know a bunch of people like that. And then I started thinking about this thing called hopelessness. Hopelessness. And usually I'll have this conversation with people. Just pretty much it goes like this. You know, Pastor D, God can never use me because of what I did or what I'm doing. And I feel like I don't have any purpose. So I feel hopeless. Anybody know people like that? They are either operating in shame or hopelessness or both. And the problem about both of those, one of those, two of those, all of those, is it creates a problem for people. And the problem's called suicide. Right? Suicide. And it's a horrible problem. And I'm going to read you some statistics that should alarm you. Because, you know, you might just know your neighbor. You just wave at them. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know their story. But there's people that just carry this hopelessness and shame, and they commit suicide. Some people have chemical imbalances, and, you know, doctors have prescribed this and that and counseling and stuff. But I'm not so much about that, but people that carry this weight of shame for things in their life, and they become hopeless. And these are the statistics in the United States. It says 1,440 people in the United States attempt suicide every day. Yep. And out of that, 70 of them succeed. I got goosebumps. All right. Suicide is the 9th highest cause of death overall in the United States. The 9th highest cause of death. And for people under 30, it's the 3rd highest cause of death. And for teenagers, it's the 2nd highest cause of death. And I have been to too many funerals for teenagers. And I want to tell you, incredible lives are lost because for most part of them, they're carrying shame and hopelessness. And I hope this message will open your eyes. If you feel like you're one of those that feel hopeless, I hope it will encourage you. And I hope you can pass this on. A couple years back, oh my gosh, that means it's under 10, between 5 and 10, okay. Praise the Lord. There's a pastor, Rick Warren. He pastors in Southern California in Orange County. Huge church, like 60,000 people. Whatever that means, you know. Huge church. And a couple years back, his son struggled. He had a lot of struggles in his life. He had mental illness and struggled, and he committed suicide. This is a pastor's son. Huge church. And Pastor Rick took 6 months off. That's wisdom. Yep. Just sat down and just had I always say you have to find your way back to the planet. You have to find your find life, okay? Get all the pieces back together. And when he came back after 6 months, his first message, he got up and shared. His wife got up and shared a few things. And he talked about just how he processed what happened, suicide. And if you, you can YouTube it. Do not do that now. Okay, you can YouTube Pastor Rick Warren, Southern California. I can't remember the name of the church. You can write Son Suicide. A great message. Listen to it. It's just incredible. But here's the questions I want to ask you. Do you see God's love conditional or unconditional? How do you see God loves you? Is it with conditions or unconditional? I grew up in church. I went to church every Sunday. All through college. That's quite amazing. My parents, you know, it wasn't, hey, do you feel like going to church? Crack me up, parents. Take that out of your vocabulary. When raising kids, do you feel like going to church? We went to church. If we went out of state on vacation, my mom found a church for us to go to. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know? The only time I missed, I remember two of these, but you had to be sick. And I had the mumps, and one time I had the measles. It's the only times I remember missing church. One time I went to church and passed out. And I thought, and I woke up because it was in one of those hot churches. They didn't have air conditioning. I'm sitting behind this lady who's got so much perfume, and the room's going. I go thump. And my mom picks me up and waits till church is over. I was like, are you kidding me? Can't I get out of here? Okay. So I love my mom. I've learned great things. It took me a lot of years to figure out what I learned. But so I grew up in church. The thing is, I learned, now I have to say this, it may not have been spoken, but sometimes you hear it differently. Okay, sometimes people say A, B, C, and you heard X, Y, Z. I said ABC, XYZ. So, but this is what I learned at church. I learned conditional love, such as if you do everything right, then you're okay. If you do something wrong, you are in trouble. All right. I kind of learned that at church. It doesn't mean that they spoke that, but it's just the way I put the pieces together. Okay. And maybe you learned that at church and you just learned, gee whiz, if I live just right, I'm okay. If I do something wrong, I'm in trouble with God. Now, the problem with that is that's not in the Bible. Okay. It's not in the Bible, but sometimes it just kind of lingers as we have encounters with Jesus and as we grow. And the problem with that is you may know that God loves you, but you're thinking, man, if he were to land on the planet today, he'd slap me silly, right? Because, you know, I've just messed up. And sometimes we go around and we know, well, listen, I know I'm going to heaven, but God must be so upset with me because I did this last night and I did this and you know that. Or sometimes, and this is not my life, but I've known people that they had a time of knowing Jesus, but they just were not strong enough and they just stumbled and just got into some areas. And they finally said, you know what? Instead of frustrating God, instead of frustrating myself, I'm just going to go live like crazy. What the heck? Okay, that's not good, by the way. Everybody go, that's not good, Pastor D. Okay, all right. And you know, sometimes they feel like God's just so frustrated, so I'm just going to walk away. Guys, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. And he wants every one of us just to walk away because you're not perfect. That's the enemy, okay? And I want today, I hope, I believe, I just know that I can bring you to an understanding. It doesn't matter how messed up what you've done. God loves you unconditionally, everlasting love. And he still wants to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to use you. He's going to use you. That's right. He is going to use you. Praise the Lord. I have a couple more scriptures. Open up to Ephesians. Here we go. That is just going to wrap this all together, and then I'll let you out. And praise the Lord. No, I'm locking the doors. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm reading again out of the Living Bible. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1. Before I read this, I want you to see God's planning and God's purpose for you. Do you know God just doesn't plan stuff, you know? Read Genesis on the first day, on the second day. He's got a plan, and so we're going to talk about God's plan and his purpose. You ready? Ephesians 1, verse 4. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us. Everybody go, us! God chose us, all right, to be his very own through what Jesus would do for us. So think about this. He chose the world. Now, sometimes you go, world, it's that little round ball. No, he chose people. He chose me. He chose you. He chose people. He chose everybody. So long ago, he chose the whole world to be his own. He chose them to be his own. Now, some people decide to accept it, right? And some people don't. But he chose them, right? So, listen, God stands before time. He knows the beginning of the end. I don't get it. It just kind of baffles me when I think about this time thing in God. But he saw us and he said, I choose you. Woohoo! I choose you and I want to bring you into my family. Write that down. God chose me. God chose me. All righty. Now, the verse goes on and says, he decided then to make us holy in his eyes, without a single fault, we who stand before him covered in agape. So he chose you and you're holy, to be holy, blameless. Oh, okay. So you know, when you accept Jesus, your sins are washed away. He says you're holy and blameless. He doesn't see your sins or your faults or your messes up. He sees you covered in agape, unconditional love that lays down its life. Isn't that beautiful? Oh. Now, do we mess up? Yes. Do I sin? Yes. But you know what? This says God saw you and redeemed you and covered you in his love. God loves you. Praise the Lord. Okay, the rest goes on. It says, his unchanging plan. Okay, so this is so cool. You know, oh man, you really blew it. Change plans. No, not taking you in. No, no, no. His unchanging plan always has been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And I love this last part. He did it because he wanted you. And I don't know what people have said to you. I don't know where you come out. And they've just said, you know, nobody wanted you. You're just a leftover. Oh, I love these parents that say that you're a mistake. No, baby. Read your Bible. God planned you and wanted you and adopted you and loves you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. He loves you. He loves everybody in the room so much. But listen, he loves you and he wants to use you, but we have an enemy and his goal is to get you to think, oh, my mom used to tell me all the time, you were a mistake. We didn't want you. He wants you to get to think on that, think on that, think on that. He wants you to think on, you've made too many mistakes. Look what you said yesterday. Look what you did last year. Look, you've come out of prison. Look, you're on your 25th, whatever. Okay. He wants you to start doing that. And God's saying, no. No, no, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. But first, you have to understand how much I love you. Guys, until you get that, you are having a rocky road in your journey with Jesus. It'll always cause you, okay? So this is what he's saying. The first thing you got to do is understand how much I love you. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is purpose, because I get these people, I don't know what my purpose is. I've blown it so many times. I couldn't be used for God. God doesn't want to use me. You know, all that stuff. And you know what I realize? They don't know that God has purpose for them. They don't know that God has purpose. Everybody say, I have purpose. I mean, stick your chin out at that person and go, I have purpose. I have purpose. All right, I have purpose. I have purpose, and you know what? It's an incredible purpose. Open up to Jeremiah 1. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, it's an Old Testament scripture. Even though God's specifically kind of talking to Jeremiah, this is God talking to us. This is a goodie. This is one you keep. God's talking to Jeremiah, but now you're going to say, God's talking to me. All righty? Here it goes. I knew you before you were formed. I knew you before you were formed within your mother's womb. So he's talking to us about his plans for me. He's talking to you about your plans, his plans for you. And he says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's wombs. Now, that can go a lot of ways. Like you can think, oh, okay, God stands before time. He knows when I was conceived. He knows how I'm going to live my life. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. But listen to this, okay? Your mom and dad are only responsible for the physical you. All right? Okay, but God created you. He created you spirit and soul. All right? And he made you. God made you. God made you? No, no, no. God made you. God made you, okay? So if you're walking around with dumb out of your mouth, like, oh, I'm not any good. Look what I've done. Nothing good's going to happen in my life. No, you don't know that God made you. God made you and God loves you. So, man, here we go. God loves me. God loves me. Now, listen, we all come out of in different environments. Some of us come out of crazy environments. Some of us come out of really bad environments, but God made you, deposited gifts in you, and one of them, he calls you an overcomer. So in God, you can overcome, and you can fulfill all the plans and purposes of God. All right? So don't say, well, I had this happen in my life, and I had this happen in my life, I had that happen in my life. Well, then you got to get back to Jeremiah 1. God knew me. God made me, and I am in him, and he's in me, and I'm incredible. So I'm going over. All righty? Calm down, Pastor D. Okay, the next part. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Now, I don't use that word sanctified in a sentence in who knows how long. So would you like to know what it means? Sanctified means set apart. So he's saying, before you were born, I set you apart. I set you apart. Way, way long time ago, far, far away place, my dad worked in Manhattan, and occasionally he would bring home a box of candy. You know those ones that Russell Stover's. Anybody know Russell Stover's? You're as young as me. Okay. And we take the cellophane off. And if it was a really good Russell Stover's box, it probably had about 25 candies in it, chocolate. They're all dipped in chocolate. And on the back, they had what they were. But if somebody got into the box, threw out what they were, we would poke holes of them. My mom would just get so upset. Oh, you kids, there are six of us, stuck your fingers in the bottom of these. And I'd look and I'm like, oh, that's that pink creamy one. Okay, let's just get rid of that. You know, I put that back in. And I love caramel. I love chocolate. I love nuts. So you know what I'm saying is, God picked you out. God picked you out. God picked you out. Okay, I don't know where am I reading on this scripture? Praise the Lord. Did I read the rest? Okay, he picked you out. He appointed you. Okay, so you were born and you were picked out, set apart. And now this next part, this is God talking to Jeremiah. This is God. But listen, there's more for us. So he says to him, I appointed you as my spokesperson to the world. Now he's talking, he's giving him a calling as a prophet. I am not a prophet. Most of you, I don't think you're prophets. Okay, that's okay. But that's okay. Everybody say, that's okay. That's okay. Okay? It's okay. Okay, because you know what? God set all of us apart for greatness, for plans and purposes. And just because you have the tag that says you're a prophet, you are no greater, no loved than I am. Okay? So God set you apart. He appointed you. He picked you out of the box of chocolates and he said, I've got greatness thing and I've made you. And there's great plans and purposes in your life because I made you. I made you. I called you. All right, now, sometimes I look at all of our volunteers and I'm going, wonderful. And then I look at those of you that volunteer and do stuff outside of the church and I'm like, oh man, that's so wonderful. And then I think of all of the callings in your life. See, I get to know you and I'm like, oh man, I'm hanging around them. I know the calling in their life. I know the gift in their life. I know the purpose in their life. I just get around you and you start living it and you just kind of bubble all over it. And you're like, okay, but you know, it's really fun to hang out with other people like that. And but the thing is, the enemy doesn't want you to know that God made you and he's got purpose in your life. He doesn't want you to know that I'm going to call you to things. Okay, you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a prophet, but the enemy doesn't want you to know that God loves you and he's got to use you and he's got plans in your life. Now, when I think about my life and the daily grind, you know, and the work that I do, that is not how I feel valued. What you do is not what makes you valuable. You know what gives me value in my life? That's scripture. God planned for me. He set me apart. I'm made like him. He lives inside of me. That gives me value. All right. So all of you that think, you know, if I don't have this job, I'm nothing, then you need to go back to this. God made you, planned you, chose you, separated you. And that, put your shoulders up, gives you value. Even when I did children's ministry, by the way, you could put me in my happy place. Who did I just tell this today? I said two happy places for Pastor D. Put me back in children's ministry and put me in the kitchen to cook. Okay? But when I was in children's ministry, I thought, man, woohoo! I am valuable. And I get to pour into kids. Some of you are like, ugh, that's valuable? No. It wasn't what I did. That was the second part. But I am valuable. I am valuable. And the end. Okay. But I'm valuable. So, and when you know you're valuable, you have purpose. Everybody say, I have purpose. Cause I am valuable. I am darn tootin' valuable. And I don't care if that son of a sea cook doesn't see it. I am valuable. I was talking to this lady the other day and I'm like, you are valuable, girl. You are valuable. I don't care what anybody says. Okay. So you may be thinking, oh, but Pastor D, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've come from. Let me tell you, there's somebody worse. You know those children of Israel? Oh, my gosh. They were worse and worser and worser. And they were God's chosen. Set apart, put the thumb in the chocolate, and taken. Okay? They were worser. Okay, and turn over to Romans. This is my last scripture. Praise the Lord. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans 11, 20, 29. This scripture is in the New Testament, but it was writing about the children of Israel. And listen, they were bad, worser. They would walk away from God and then they'd come back. And then they'd walk away from God and they'd come back. Then they'd do something bad, worship idols, just bad things and mouth off and complain, and then they come back. So if you read this scripture in context, it's about walking away from God. Anybody ever do that? Am I the only one? I put God on a shelf for 3 years. I was just mad at him. Okay. Dumb. So this scripture really speaks to my life. All right. So in context, it's about walking away from God and doing terrible things. And this is the scripture. I chose the Message Bible because you all know this scripture. You could probably recite it in your car and all that stuff. But listen to the Message. God's gifts. By the way, you're his gifts. God's gifts and calls. God's calls are under full warranty. Never cancel. Never rescind it. How many of you love it when you get something that's got a lifetime warranty? Anybody have owned something that's got a lifetime warranty? They don't give them out too much anymore. They're, you know, okay. I told the story. I buy the, back in, I finally got smart. It took me about 10, 15 years. I buy my kids' backpacks by Janssen. Is it Jansport? Because they have lifetime warranty. I took them up on that. Okay. Sears used to do lifetime warranties. I don't know where they are right now, but you know. Pray for them, okay? Okay, but don't you love when it's a lifetime warranty on something? And don't you love when that lifetime warranty even gets passed on to the next generation or the next owner? I love that. I'm trying to find those, okay? But this is what God's saying. Your gift, your gift that I called you, I deposited in you, has a lifetime warranty. Doesn't matter what you did, what you do, it is lifetime. Everybody say, there's lifetime warranty on the inside of me. The gifts inside of you are for a lifetime. And they'll never be taken back. They'll never be rescinded. Whoosh. That should make you sleep really good this afternoon when you take a nap. Yep. Praise God. But you have to know that God loves you. You have to know that God loves you and that God's going to use you. Amen. So, my goal is that you might know the love of God, the agape love that God has for you. So much that even if you mess up, that you would know that he has plans and gifts and purposes for your life, and he wants to use you. And he is extending his hand, and you just have to grab it and get off the chair. He has reached and he continues to reach no matter what you've done, because he is an agape God, and he just loves forever, eternal, this unconditional love. Amen. Amen. How about I pray for y'all? Amen. Close your eyes. Praise the Lord. Now you can close your eyes. Wake up the person who's been sleeping. Just, you know, whatever. Some of you, I believe that this was a huge moment that you walked in with shame, feeling distant from God. And I really believe that periodically all of us, I know I have had times where I just felt that, okay? But I believe that this message, I believe that your eyes are open, that you would today take any shame that you carry. You've got it stuffed in your front pocket, your backpack. If you would just take that and cast it on the Lord. Because he cares for you. And it says that Jesus carried all of that away for you. Isn't that awesome? So I believe God's speaking to people here that you may have carried shame in here. I believe there's people here that you have had some failures. That you feel like, I'm pathetic. And listen, there is nothing you can do that would separate you from this agape, unconditional, lifetime warranty love. And today, I'm just asking you to just throw that junk on the side. Don't listen to the enemy and just receive. So, Father, I thank you for the people in this place. I thank you, Father, that your word brings life. Your word brings hope. Your word just brings a new direction, a setting free today, a refreshing. And for those of us that, you know your Greek words, but today, Father, I thank you. They grab hold of this and they go even higher with you, understanding this great love that you have for them. So I thank you for the work, Holy Spirit, that you started in everyone in this place today. And I thank you, Father, that it just gets glued inside of them, not from their head, but into their heart, that they know that you love them and there is nothing they can do to separate you from that love and that you want to use them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, with your eyes still closed, one more thing. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I need some prayer. I don't know Jesus, but I can tell there's just by listening, I can just this pulling in my heart. I can tell you guys that's the Holy Spirit. And he knocks at the door of your heart. He knocks at the door of your heart because he stands up front and he says, I'm here. I have called you from the beginning of time. And if you're here and you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, to be Lord of your life, can I tell you, it's in a moment, your life will change forever. And it says, those that would call in the name of the Lord, he would save. Those that would say, Jesus, I need you, he would rescue you and bring you into his family. And your life, there's miracles. There's just great things. So if you're here today and that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand. If you're here today and you've done that, you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, but you've just kind of, God, I've blown it so many times, I've just walked away. You went this way and I went that way. And you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I gotta get back. Well, you raise your hand, we're going to pray and we're going to, it'll just be a lifetime change again. So if you're here today and there's one of those things or both of those things, you want to raise your hand and I'd like to pray with you. We're all going to pray with you. Matter of fact, those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those that just say, Jesus, I need you, he will bring you to his family where eternal life, and that's a great thing, but it just means life inside of you forever. Be a part of God's family. So if you're here, would you pray this out loud? We'll all pray it with you. Just simply say, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to the cross for me. Amen. I believe he took my sins, my shame, my failures, and he carried them away for me. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are Savior. This day I take you as my Savior. I'm now a child of God. Heaven is my home. A miracle took place in me, and I am loved by God forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you prayed that prayer and for the first time, please come up and see me. If you've prayed that and you just took a turn to get back with the Lord, come up and tell me. I want to high five you, give you some direction. So let's all stand. Let's say our big words here today. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out, and I am a light, and I'm used of God. Amen. Have a wonderful day. If you'd like some prayer, you just want to come on up. I've got some elders that'll pray with you. I've got materials. Have a great day. Thank you.